This podcast is made possible by the generous contributions from listeners just like you. If you have the means and you'd like to contribute, click on the link in the show description to go to my supporter page. Once you're there, it's completely up to you how much you'd like to give. There's no minimum and no maximum and no ongoing charges. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening to the Saturday Quiz. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. My name's John Leary, and this is The Saturday Quiz, the podcast where I ask the questions from the quiz in the Saturday paper, and a different pair of guests each week try to answer them. This week, those guests are both actors. The first you would know from her roles in the television series Wakefield, Ms. Fisher's Modern Murder Mysteries, and Wanted. And the other you'd know from his roles in Pine Gap, Halifax Retribution, and you'll be able to see him in the upcoming series Fires, as well as the latest episode of The Newsreader, the show that I'm also in, on Sunday night on ABC at 8:30. Welcome to the show, Geraldine Hayquill and Mark Winter.
Thanks, Johnny.
Good morning.
How are you both?
Very good, thank you.
We're well.
Very nice to see your faces.
Yeah, so nice.
You are living in an area that has just come out of lockdown, is that right?
Yeah, last night at 11:59 p.m. we went out of lockdown. But it's, you know, we're fairly isolated. We're living in a rural area. Obviously, we're in regional Victoria. And so it hasn't really, well, it hasn't changed anything so far. We haven't gone anywhere.
Right. But you weren't out at midnight last night?
No. And I think a lot of the cafes and restaurants and things aren't able to open yet because of capacity restrictions. So yeah. I think a lot will still be takeaway anyway. So it might not feel hugely different, but I guess there's just this sort of mental release of going, okay, we have a little bit more freedom and yeah, there's less tension around it, I suppose.
We're free, Johnny. We're free.
You're free.
It doesn't change anything, but we're free.
Now tell me, as it refers to the quiz, do you guys quiz a lot yourselves?
Sporadically.
I mean, I read the Saturday paper and I often will do the quiz and I probably get between 2 and 0 questions correct. So
that's our goal, to do better than 2.
Yeah, better than 2 to make the people listening feel good about their intellect.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, yes, as you may know, the whole idea of this podcast is not to, you know, keep a score or keep a tally or compete or anything like that. But it's just to arrive at the correct answer eventually.
Yes.
Doesn't matter how many clues you get, you have to take.
Okay, great.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But the goal is to get them right and
mouth it to us on
compete
the screen
and get it right and beat all the people listening, and all your good words are lies, Johnny. Your noble intention are lies.
Would you feel like you have any area of expertise when it comes to quizzing?
Oh, dear.
General knowledge?
I know a little bit about a little bit. So I'd say I'd say my expertise are very random.
All right.
And I wouldn't even say expertise is the right word. I'd say I collect information about random things at different times. And so who knows if it will be helpful.
Yeah, it might converge in this quiz if there's some random things that you do actually know. I learnt in my own research for this, I learnt that you, Geraldine, were born in Paris.
Oui.
that's French. That's French for yes to all your listeners, Johnny.
Thank you. My French is particularly bad.
Yours is better than mine from what I can recall, because we've worked together and I seem to remember that you would sometimes just bandy about a French phrase or two, and my French is almost non-existent because we moved. My parents were both Australian. They were speaking French in their lives, but they were mostly speaking English to me at home because they thought I'd go to school there, so they wanted me to have good English. And then we moved back when I was four, so I didn't even end up going to school there. So I have little phrases and I can understand a little bit, and I sometimes do my little Duolingo app, but, yeah, you know, without the practice and actually being there, which we can't do at the moment. Yeah, it sort of doesn't, there isn't
doesn't
any.
Really,
yeah,
stick. What about you, Mark? We didn't really touch on what might your specialty be.
I don't know if I have a specialty. I have an interest in American politics.
So there's sometimes US politics in the quiz, but not, I don't think, this week.
What a shame.
Oh, well, that's good, because it probably would have embarrassed me anyway. So any geography question and I'm toast.
Yeah, same.
I really wish my parents put one of those maps on the wall in the toilet when I was a kid, but they
didn't. I had one of those and it didn't really help.
Still didn't help.
No.
Yeah. So I'm nervous about any geography questions, but, you know, we'll do our best, Johnny. We'll do our best.
All right. Well, let's see if you can do your best.
Okay.
Let's see how good your best
is. Wow. Okay.
We're trying to get better than two. That's our goal.
Yeah. All right. The goal is better than two.
Yeah.
Let's see how you go right after this.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. I'm joined by Geraldine Haquill and Mark Winter. This is question number one. How many domestic aircraft were hijacked in the 9/11 terrorist attacks? And there is a bonus point for naming the year they occurred. This Saturday, of course,
is the
anniversary.
It was 2001.
Yes,
That's correct.
I was in year 12. Now, there was a plane there was the two that hit the towers. Yep.
There was
a plane that went to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
And there was one that was stopped in Pennsylvania, I believe, that the passengers overpowered the terrorists. So I think there were four.
Yeah, there were four. Very well.
Wow.
Thought out that, yeah.
I didn't know about the fourth one, but
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think that was United 93, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Johnny, my parents on 9/11. I'd been in America because I did some schooling there, and I got sent home to boarding school back in Australia. And so a friend actually woke me up that night in the boarding house and said, "We've got to turn on the television." And we were watching it, and this makes my dad seem a bit more glamorous than he is, but sometimes he does work. He did some work at the Pentagon. So I was trying to ring all night to hear that they were okay, because at that time they actually were working in the Australian Embassy in D.C.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and couldn't get through. But they described that day, you know, that they just couldn't get out of D.C. John Howard, then Prime Minister, was taken to the basement of the Australian Embassy. And, yeah, quite a day I certainly won't forget, as you know, many people won't.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm.
That's extraordinary. Mm. What does your dad do?
Well,
what do your parents do?
It's a secret.
No, he's a public servant, but he was working with defence, and I think there was some work. He's not a spy. There was some work with the Canadian, British, US and Australian governments that they were doing on some defence initiatives.
Oh, yeah. That sounds a lot like the Five
like
Eyes spy network, intelligence network.
And then he retired and started working at Bunnings just to further his spying.
Which was his favourite job. And remains his favourite job. He just did it for the staff discount, but, you know.
He's the guy you want to meet when you go to Bunnings.
He definitely is.
Wow,
He's going to tell you which drill you need for that job.
Yeah, so. And also some state secrets, yes. Maybe.
Yeah, if you...
No, he would never tell, though. He's a good spy.
Otherwise, he'd have to use that drill against you.
Brilliant. I didn't know that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, there you go.
Well done. It was four planes. And it was 2001.
Well, we're halfway to our target. Yeah,
halfway to your goal. It's amazing. Question two. Mm-hmm. Pruritus affects which organ of the human body?
Did you say psoriasis?
Pruritus.
Oh.
Pruritus. Pruritus.
Pruritus.
Pruritus.
Pruritus.
Mm. And does it give you an ABC option?
No, there is not an ABC on
That's
this
a shame.
One.
Okay.
You've got an ABC. You've got a multiple choice coming up, but it's not on this one.
Okay. And it's an organ.
Pruritus.
It's an organ of the human body.
Well, there's lots of those.
So psoriasis is the liver, isn't it? You know, you get psoriasis of the liver.
Don't you get psoriasis of the skin?
Oh, I don't know.
There's something
similar. But drinking gives you psoriasis of the liver.
But that's not pruritus.
No, I know, but
maybe
I'm trying to rule out
weird,
organs.
Like the spleen.
Ooh, okay.
Well, let's just name some organs and see if something sounds
let's
good.
Let's just see what sticks. Pruritus is
kidney?
A lot more common than you probably realise.
Okay.
Thanks to its name.
Maybe it is the skin.
Yeah, go with that.
Okay. Is it the skin?
It's the skin.
Wow. And what is it actually? What would we know it as?
It's the medical name for itching.
Get out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just your generic itch.
Generic itch. It wow. just means itching.
There you go. All right.
There you go. Look at you. You've got the first two.
We're all we stumbled.
We can relax now.
We stumbled into that one, Johnny. That wasn't a confident yes.
You were definitely leading us towards that
sure,
door.
But you were pretty much there. I didn't do too much shoving.
Yeah.
Well,
the skin's pretty. I mean, that's always a good one when they say organ because it's sort of a bit of a.
I think we claim that as a half. I don't think that's okay. a full point.
You can claim that as a half. Sure.
That's a half.
All right, question number three.
Okay. Taking away our point.
By population, what is the second largest city in the Netherlands?
Oh, my God.
No.
By population in the Netherlands.
No, just giving up.
I feel very uncertain.
This question's giving me wrinkles.
So we've got... Amsterdam.
Amsterdam is a
is
city
in the
Netherlands.
Netherlands.
Yeah. And I'll give you a clue because that is the largest
yes,
city
that's what
in,
I would have guessed.
The Netherlands by population.
And then from there, I would not be able to... I mean, Antwerp...
You can't name another...
In Belgium, isn't it? That's not in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think that's Belgium.
I don't know if I can. I've never been there. Have you been there?
Never.
Not even to Amsterdam?
No.
No.
Nor have I, to be
honest. I wish I had. I feel like, well, where does, doesn't our friend Ash Zuckerman live in the Netherlands? But he would live in, doesn't he?
What, do you want to give him a call?
No, but where does he live?
Sometimes lives in Amsterdam.
Okay. Well, that's not helpful. I don't know. Do you want to just say a word and see if that's it?
It's Europe's largest seaport.
Oh, Copenhagen.
No, that's in Denmark.
No, that's Denmark.
Largest
yeah.
seaport. Would we know it? Yeah. When you say it, are we going to go, oh.
Yeah, you would certainly have heard of this city. It's another dam. So Amster...
Rotterdam
is the right answer.
Oh, there we
well
go.
Well done.
Is that the largest seaport, Johnny?
That is Europe's largest seaport.
That's fascinating.
Interesting.
How about that? In 2020, the city's population tipped over 650,000. No, it's not particularly big.
Mm.
But in the same year, Amsterdam's population was a tick under 872,000.
So 871.
And a bit.
Cool.
All right.
That's a half too, definitely a half.
That's not even.
You take it.
I got the first half of the word.
Damn.
Rotterdam.
Oh, okay.
Okay, a quarter. Should we go
a quarter?
All right, quarter point for that one.
Quarter point.
All right.
Question number four.
Yeah.
Forming part of the word mellifluous, the Latin word mel translates to what in English?
Mellifluous. Isn't mellifluous something to do with sounding lovely?
Well, yeah. You.
So it would be something to do with sound?
No.
Song?
Not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Beauty.
Yeah, not beauty.
Mellifluous.
Yeah, we use mellifluous, you're right, to talk about someone's speech or their talking, but it has very little.
Is it honey?
To actually do. It is honey.
Ah.
Yes.
Wow, that's impressive.
And that, my French came in handy then, because miel is honey in French.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
There you go.
And Melissa, the name,
is
honeybee.
There you go.
Well done. Yeah. Oh, that was very impressive.
Thank you.
Well done. All right, thanks, question guys. Number five. Which Super Netball team won the 2021 Premiership?
Dear me.
This is embarrassing because one of my best friends works for Netball Australia. And I have no idea.
Is there like the Thunder?
Yeah. Did you say the Thunder?
Yeah.
Are you just coming up with...
No, I'm trying to think of the netball teams.
There's the Swifts.
Go with that.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Swifts.
Yeah, the New South Wales Swifts.
There you go.
Is there a netball team called the Thunder?
I'm not sure if there is.
Okay.
I don't have that information in front of me.
Okay. I had a third cousin maybe who played for the Swifts when I was... I don't think she would be playing for them anymore because this was when I was a child. But
maybe a veteran player.
She's probably not. Wasn't in that team.
I'm sure she's retired. Yeah,
is my guess.
But she might have won a premiership because the New South Wales Swifts won their seventh National Netball League title with a 63-59 win over. Do you know the team that they competed against in the grand final?
No.
Obviously not the Thunder.
Not the Thunder. They share their name with an AFL team.
Again, I wish that was helpful, but I'm very not good with the sport.
No, they were the Giants.
The Giants.
Yeah.
Good name for a netball team.
Yes, because they probably all are. All right, it's time for us to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to The Saturday Quiz. My guests today are Geraldine Hakewell and Mark Winter. They're up to question number six. Haflinger, Percheron and Arabian are all breeds of what?
Well, there are Arabian horses, right?
Yeah.
I'd say a horse.
Are.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Yeah. They're horses.
They're all horses.
We'll say horses,
Jenny. Haflinger, Percheron and Arabian. Do you have horses where you are?
We don't have any ourselves, but there are some in close proximity to our place.
There's many around.
Yeah.
Nice.
We've got a chicken and a rooster and two dogs, and that's as far as we've got so far. And lots of kangaroos and wildlife that comes to visit. But,
But we're more bush than pasture.
Oh, so, I see.
Yeah.
All right, question number seven. Sybaritic or sybaritic refers to A, an inflammation of the tendons, B, a fondness for luxurious self-indulgence, or C, an animal that can live both in water and on land.
Can you spell it, Johnny?
Yes, I can. Sybaritic. Sybaritic.
Well, that didn't help. So it was...
Inflammation of the tendons.
Inflammation.
A fondness for luxurious self-indulgence.
Mm-hmm.
Or an animal that can live both in water and on land.
Oh.
What do you reckon?
I really don't have any inclination one way or the other on this.
No. Maybe one of the first two.
Well, animal on land and water is amphibious, right?
Amphibious,
so,
sure, yeah.
So we might.
You want to cut that one out? Sure, yeah. This is good.
I think process of elimination. Self-indulgence of luxury stuff, sybaritic.
Maybe inflammation.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, let's try that. We'll try inflammation.
You're going to lock in inflammation of the tendons?
I think we might.
I'm afraid that is incorrect.
Is luxury goods?
It is. It's a fondness for luxurious self-indulgence. And it has a weird origin because Sybaris was a city, an ancient Greek city founded in 720 BC. The city of Sybaris amassed great wealth thanks to its fertile land and busy port, and its inhabitants became famous among the Greeks for their hedonism, feasts and excesses to the extent that sybarite and sybaritic have become bywords for opulence, luxury and outrageous pleasure seeking.
Well, interesting.
Look, I'm a bit disappointed that I haven't heard this on Succession or, you know, some TV show where someone said, like, you're sybaritic, you know. I don't think I've ever heard it before.
I wonder what happened to them.
Yeah.
And I should have knocked it out.
Do you want to know what happened?
Yeah, I do want to know because it sounds a bit Atlantis-y.
According to the second century writer Athenaeus, the sybarites invented the chamber pot and pioneered the concept of intellectual property with a kind of patent or copyright situation where cooks could exclusively profit from their signature dishes for a whole year. Yeah, but the Athenaeus anecdote that best illustrates the notion that the sybarites' indulgence led to their own demise is that, according to him, to amuse themselves, the sybarite cavalrymen trained their horses to dance to flute music. So when the city was attacked by the neighbouring Croton, the city of Croton, the Crotoniate army brought along their flute players, and when they started playing the music, the horses of the sybarites ran over to the Croton army along with the riders on their back.
Let that be
a lesson to all of us, Johnny.
Wow.
Do not train your horses to dance to flutes.
That's really interesting.
The chamber
and
pot,
so they all died,
wonderful.
I assume.
And so they all died.
They were amalgamated to the
Croton. Yeah.
Now Croton sounds much more severe. I think that's less of a fun town.
Yeah. No fun.
Less luxury goods. No chamber pots.
Exactly.
You got to hand it to the fellow, though, who was like, guys, I think I've got this. Bring your flutes.
Yes.
Bring your flutes. I think we've got this one.
All right, question number 8. What star sign are you if your birthday is this week?
This week.
Yeah.
Well, it's my dad's birthday and he is a Virgo, so...
Well done. That is 100% correct.
Hooray!
Happy birthday to your dad.
It was actually yesterday, but I'm assuming it's in the same. It is in the same star sign.
It is. Yeah. It's Virgo.
Yeah.
Well done. What are you both?
I'm a Cancerian.
And
Mark's a Pisces.
I'm a Piscean, which essentially makes me useless at most things.
We're both water signs, which means that there's a lot of feelings. What are you, Johnny?
I forget what I am, but I'm a Gemini.
Oh, cool. Do you know your rising and moon signs?
Let's move on now, Johnny. Let's move on now, mate, because this is a deep hole to go down.
All right. Question number 9. 2 score equals what number?
For some reason I want to say score is 12, but I don't know if that's right.
Well, what's the famous Lincoln speech, the four
two,
score?
Four, something in 10?
Yeah, 4 score and 7 years ago.
And then what happened? What happened 4 score and 7 years ago? Because that might give us a clue.
I don't think it's going to.
Okay.
I don't know if that will help you. That's from the Gettysburg Address.
What's the score? So where did you get with 12?
I don't know, but that's a dozen. Why would it also be a score?
Yeah, and that's the baker's dozen stuff.
Baker's dozen is 13,
13,
though.
Right.
I think you're barking up the wrong tree
there. Yeah, okay, thank you. Score, what about 7?
So 4 times 7 plus 7 years ago.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Why would it not be 10? Why would it be an even number?
What if it's 5? Because, you know, when you do a tally and you go 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Oh, that is a really good instinct that you have there, because the word score comes from the Old English skoru, which actually comes from the Old Norse score, which means mark or notch.
Ah.
And it was exactly as you say, like doing tally marks, but it is greater than 5.
Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it is 10. Why wouldn't it be 10? Does that just seem too straightforward?
Oh, look, I really don't
Should we
know.
Say 10? Okay. So you said, what is 2 score? Is that the question, Johnny?
The question is, 2 score equals what number?
Are we going with 20? I feel like it's wrong, but...
I think it's wrong, but we don't know any
it
better.
It is
so,
wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you're not... Well...
We're far off.
So what is it, Johnny?
Double it.
Oh, okay. So it's 20.
It's 20.
Ah.
So 40.
So 40. 2 score equals 40, yeah.
Ah.
A score is 20, yeah.
Interesting.
So 4 score is 107 years ago with the...
No, 87.
No, 4 score is 87 years ago.
Right, 87.
Yeah, maths, not your big...
No, it's a real failure of mine, Johnny.
No.
And my mother was a maths teacher, so I've worn that all my life.
So thanks for that.
Thanks, everyone, for bringing
I
that
really
up.
I rubbed that in.
Yeah.
Jerry, you might have been thinking about a gross when you were talking about a dozen.
Ah, maybe.
Because a gross, do you know what a gross is?
Is it 12?
No, it's sometimes called a large dozen.
Oh, so 13 or 14 or 15?
No, it's a dozen dozens.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay.
So 24.
So 12 times 12?
Oh, no. 100 and... I can't do maths either.
It's 144.
144. Of course it is. Duh. Yeah.
I'm glad we're
oh, no, so not embarrassing.
That's equally awful. Maths embarrassed.
I've been doing a maths app. Over lockdown.
She has.
Because
done.
I am so embarrassed at my maths.
She has.
Oh.
But we didn't get to 12 12s, clearly.
I actually knew that one. I actually knew that one.
You knew that one? Yeah.
I did know that one.
Why didn't you jump in and save me?
It all happened so fast, Jerry.
You let me down. Okay.
Nice. All right. Well, we are up to the final question.
Oh, my goodness.
Question number 10. And it is, the evergreen shrub heath is also known by what name starting with E?
Heath.
By just what got name? Totally blank faces.
Starting with
Heath. Is it a botanical name?
No.
No.
Well, it is a botanical name, but it's also, and probably better known as, a girl's name, a woman's name.
Oh.
So Heath is British?
Heath is a boy's name.
Thank you, Johnny.
I'd say it's a European.
But is
shrub.
It like Eve or a girl's name E?
Starts with E.
What's it?
And it's from the Latin word
Edith.
Meaning heath and broom.
Broom.
I don't know if that helps.
Oh, this is going to annoy me, and I'm sure as soon as you say it, I'm going to go, damn it. Okay. Is it obvious?
Not really. No, okay. Not at all. I did not know this. I not
okay, let's say it. Let's say E names. Elizabeth, Emma, Edith, Evie, Evangeline.
This is riveting for your listeners, Johnny.
Actually, there is also a boy's name which
Eustace.
You know, is the same name but
yeah.
Without a letter on the end.
Okay.
So it ends with a, ends with a.
Uh-huh.
And it's 3 syllables.
E-a-a.
That's right. E-a-a. What are those middle syllables? Or I can't even think of...
John, is it common?
It's fairly common. I'm trying to think of a famous one.
And it's a tree.
The only person with this name that is coming to mind is... Her surname is Haynitz or Haynats.
That doesn't help.
Does that help?
No.
It's about as helpful as the broom.
Okay, well, what would the boy's name be? Not Evan.
One of the Monty Python.
Erica.
Yeah.
There you go.
The evergreen shrub heath is also known
by what name starting with E? It's Erica.
Oh. Erica.
How about that?
Shout out to my friend Erica if she's listening.
So wait, where does the broom, where does the broom thing come into it?
I don't know. That's the Latin word for broom.
Is Erica?
Go and get the Erica and sweep out the stables.
I can't. I'm sybaritic.
All right. We're going to take another little break. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Geraldine Hakewell, Mark Winter, thank you both so much for doing the quiz.
Hey, thanks. That was fun.
It was really fun. Thanks, Johnny.
And I'm glad that I've provided you with some joy, hopefully, on the day of your release.
It's the perfect thing to be doing.
Excellent.
And we did better than we thought we would, didn't we?
Yeah, I don't feel we embarrassed ourselves.
No. Not
maybe,
at all.
Maybe 12 times 12. Really well. That was slightly embarrassing, but you can't be good at everything.
But Johnny will look after us. He'll cut that out. He would never leave that in.
I might cut a little bit, but I'll certainly leave that in.
He would never leave that in.
Well, it's been so nice seeing your faces.
It was so nice to see you too.
You too, Johnny. And, I'm off to teach the horse some flute. So what could possibly go wrong?
Excellent. Yeah. That is the Saturday quiz for another week. Thank you for listening. Big, big, big thank you to all the supporters of the show. There's a link in the show description if you'd like to help out too. Make sure that you've subscribed to this podcast on whatever platform you listen, and if you can, rate and review the show. I'd really appreciate it. You can also follow me on Twitter, Johnny John Leary, and the show, The Saturday Quiz. Thank you to my guests this week, Geraldine Hakewell and Mark Winter, and special thanks to Cindy McDonald for writing the questions. My name's John Leary, and I'll have more questions for you same time next week.